Psalm 23, verse 1, a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Amen. I shall not want. Everybody say that with me. I shall not want. Amen. That's a powerful thought right there. And when you begin to dig into the Word of God, and I hope that we can do that here tonight, there's some principles that are brought out in Scripture. I shall not want. Amen. And there's an attitude when the Lord is our shepherd that is a tremendous blessing. Amen. Let's pray together. Let's ask for the help of the Lord. Father, we thank you for the Word of God tonight. Thank you for your presence that we feel right now. We're asking you to anoint the Word of God. We're asking you to speak to us and touch us. We give you thanks and praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Can we just give the Lord a hand clap of praise together? Can we do that tonight from our heart? God, I love you. God, I thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the truth tonight. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. God is awesome. You can be seated tonight. Amen. Let's get into the Word of the Lord on Wednesday night, and let's just see what God will reveal to us. Whenever I'm teaching or whenever I am doing a Bible study, I always want to take the time before to pray and ask God to let the Word be revelatory. Amen. That there will be revelation that would come from the Word of God, a revelation that will help us, because I believe the Word of God helps us. Amen. Well, in this world, there is a spirit, and I'm preaching tonight about not want, amen, but there is a spirit in the world of want. Everybody said, I want. I want. That's the spirit that is in the world today. It is the same spirit that has been in this world from the beginning of man, and it is what has caused all the problems in our world. We want the things of this life because we can see them. We want the things in this life because we can feel them. We want the things in this world because we enjoy them. Amen. To us as people, when we look around us and we see the things of this world, we look at that as reality. From a child, everything around us is reality. It is real. We can feel the wind blowing. We can see the sun. We can see the moon and the stars. Our parents and our home and our car and everything that makes up our world where we live, amen, becomes over the course of time our reality. Amen. It becomes the very thing that we lean on. And if it is disturbed a little bit, we get disturbed. Amen. If it's turned upside down, then we're turned upside down. And we see that especially now with the problems that they're having down in Texas. And things are turned upside down, so to speak. And their world 2 weeks ago, or less than 2 weeks ago, was normal. And now all of a sudden their world is turned upside down and things are not normal, and many have lost most of everything that they have. I heard on the radio that a very small percentage of the people that are affected by this storm were covered by any kind of flood insurance. And so they will no doubt likely lose everything that they have and will not get any return on that. Their world is turned upside down, and much trouble. We call it trouble. Amen. But there is a reality. Amen. There is something in the Word of God that tells us of the nature of this world and then of another world. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 18, and it says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal or temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. That's a powerful scripture right there. And as a child of God, there are some things that we don't do that the world does. And one of them is that we do not look at the things which are seen. I would say tonight that we mostly do look at things that are seen, and we base our life upon that, the things that we can handle, that we can touch, that we can feel, that we can experience in this world. But this scripture here lets us to know the end result of the things of this life. They are temporary, very, very quickly passing by the scene and going their way. Amen. Brother Elders talked about that. I believe it was him. If it wasn't him, it was somebody else. Talking about, all of the kids in high school 10 years from now, what they're going to look like, and they won't even remember you. And they'll have their own life and their own families, and things will be completely different. The things that seem to be so real right now will fade away. They will be gone. They will not even be relevant in your life at all. Amen. But the things which are not seen, he says, we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. Amen. We look to God. Amen. We can't see him. He is the invisible God, but he is real. I feel him here tonight. I felt him in the song service. I know he's here. Amen. And I'm looking at the things which are not seen. There are angels here tonight. Amen. There are things that are going on in the realm of the Spirit that you and I cannot see. Amen. Some have seen it in visions of angels, cherubims, with six wings, two wings covering their face, two wings covering their feet, and flying with two wings. I've never seen anything like that, but it exists. It is real. And it is not a world that in 10 years is going to change, but it is a world that is eternal. Praise God. It is a world that is going to be there from now on. And what we are doing here tonight, amen, is we are attempting to look into the realm of the eternal. Praise God. Whenever we open up the good book and we minister the Word of God, we are attempting to look at that which is not seen. Amen. The things that the people on your job don't see, they don't talk about it. There's nothing in their vocabulary about that. Amen. They do not look at those things, but what they look at are the things that are temporary, the things of this world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. And it makes a big difference. It makes a huge difference what we are looking at, amen, as to the satisfaction of our life. If we are looking at the things of this life, our satisfaction level will be very low, amen. If we are looking to the things of God, then there is the possibility that your satisfaction level will be very high, amen. That you feel satisfied. I want to ask you tonight, are you a satisfied person? Do you feel satisfied in your life? Do you feel happy in your life? And you don't have to say yes and nod your head just because I'm asking it in a public forum. Amen. But the question needs to be asked in our mind and in our heart. Amen. Am I a happy person? Amen. Am I basically a happy individual? Am I satisfied with my life? Am I happy with the direction of my life? Amen. If we're not careful, we can fall into that attitude that I want. Amen. Luke chapter 12 and verse 29, Jesus said, "And seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind, for all these things do the nations of the world seek after. And your Father knoweth that you have need of these things." And so he admits here in this word that we need these things. Amen. If you're going to go to work, you need a car. It's just the way it is in our country, unless you just live a couple of blocks away from where you work, which is very unusual. Amen. We need a house to live in. God did not give us feathers to cover us. Thank the Lord. Y'all would look real funny covered in feathers tonight. Amen. We need clothes. We don't have the fur of a bear or of a polar bear where we can withstand the cold temperatures and not have to make ourselves a house to live in and worry about fuel to heat it and to cool it and all of those kinds of things. Amen. We need these things, and we need to drink. You can only go about 6 days without drinking liquid, and you will die. Amen. We need to eat. You cannot go 40 days without eating, or you will die. Amen. What you're going to wear, where you're going to live. All of these things are very essential for us to survive in this world. And the Father, our Heavenly Father, knows that we need these temporary things. And they are temporary. Amen. Because we're not going to be in this human body forever. Amen. It's only for a short season of time that we are in this human body and with these temporary needs in our life. And so we have to come to a place of balance in our life. And he goes on and says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Amen. Have you found that to be so? I've found it to be so. That when you give your life to God and you seek God first, amen. If you will give God the first fruit of your income, put God first, amen. And I got an amen corner up here on the front row. It's become a reality, amen. That God blesses. God really does bless when you give to Him and you're faithful to Him. Amen. And sometimes He blesses in great, great jumps. Amen. And other times it's in short steps. But God blesses if you get the eternal and the temporary figured out. Amen. You say, "Well, I have needs." Yes, you have needs, but the greatest need that you have is a shepherd. The greatest need that you have is God in your life. Amen. Without Him, all the money in the world isn't going to do you any good. Without His smile upon your life, things are not going to go well. Amen. Without the blessings of God coming down, without His face shining upon us, we're in deep trouble. Praise God. But when we have Him, we have everything, and He will lead us by the green pastures. Amen. That's the fruitful place. Praise God, He will lead us by the still waters. That's the peaceful place. Amen. And we will not want. That's what David said. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Amen. Do you feel like there's nothing in this world that you want? Amen. Well, sure, there's things that you want. Amen. But in the context of what he's saying here, amen, we need to have the right spirit about this. Amen. And the spirit of want is the spirit of this age. It's actually the spirit of all ages. And it creeps into the life of the sinner and the saint as well. Amen. James talked about it here in James 4, verse 1 through 6. Turn with me. Let's look at it real quickly here tonight. And say amen when you get there. Praise God. James 4, verse 1 through 6, back towards the book of Revelation there. Amen. "From whence or where do these wars come from and fightings among you?" Amen. Now, that happens in the world, and it happens in the church too. You know what? It happens wherever there are people, and wherever there are people who are looking at the temporary. People who have the want. I want. Amen. And if I want something, well, let's just go a little bit further here. "Where do or from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lust that war in your members? Ye lust." Now that's "I want" right there. Amen. The lust of the flesh, I want. Ye lust and have not. And so that spirit and that desire of I want is not going to satisfy. It's not going to supply the needs. But he said when it's all said and done, you're going to be somebody that wants and wants and wants, but you do not have. And you will not get. And you cannot get. Because it is not in the right frame of mind or the right way. He said, you kill and desire to have, there's the want again, and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because you ask not, and you ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lusts. Now, I just want to stop there for a moment and just bring this into the context of what we're talking about here tonight. That spirit and attitude of I want, amen, really says that I need more than just God. I need more than just a shepherd. I need this or I need that. And so we justify ourselves in becoming carnal, amen. We justify ourselves in fighting and warring among ourselves. Amen. And we do that in this world. The sinners do that. Amen. The saints do that. Preachers do that. Well, praise the Lord, somebody. Amen. And he says that it is because of lust. It is because of I want. Amen. And don't ever get the idea that that's ever going to go away, because as long as you have people, you're going to have lust. You're going to have that spirit of I want. And he goes on here. Here's what it produces. He said, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? So in other words, God does not respect that attitude of lust. Amen. Because it is heaping upon ourselves, and it is not seeking God first. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Amen. And to be the friend of the world is to develop that attitude of I want. Amen. But what we have tonight is a shepherd. Praise God. And the Lord is our shepherd, and I shall not want. He says this, do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? Amen. That envy is, again, that spirit of I want. But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Amen. And so sometimes we have to humble ourselves because we may want something, but we're not getting it right now. Praise the Lord. I want something, but I'm not getting it right now. So we have to humble ourselves and we have to wait patiently on the Lord. God's timing is always right. Amen. God's way is always right. And when the Lord is your shepherd, you can trust that, well, you know, I guess I don't need it right now. Amen. And we can put our confidence in the leadership of our shepherd. Amen. He's not going to take us to burn over fields. He's not going to take us to stirred up muddy water. Amen. He's not going to take us in places where we're going to be hurt. Amen. But it is in his mind and in his heart to be loving kind to us. Or as the Scripture says, his loving kindness. Amen. God loves the sheep of his pasture. He gave his life for the sheep of his pasture. Amen. Because he is the good shepherd. Amen. And when we know this and we live under the banner of him as our shepherd and our leader, amen, we can find the place where I shall not want. Praise the Lord. And these scriptures that we just read, they're very powerful in that they give us the end result of the spirit of want. Amen. This spirit of want is a spirit that romanticizes sin. It is a spirit that makes something out of nothing. Let's look at it. Genesis 3, verse 4. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day that thou eatest thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. You can almost hear you know how snakes, they kind of hiss. Amen. You can almost hear the devil when he's talking to Eve. You shall not surely die, but you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Yes. And she became mesmerized by his smooth talk. And she began to think and to say, wow, maybe there is something better than God. Maybe there is something better than this way that God has led us upon here and has put us here in this garden. Oh, we can have everything, but why is he withholding that from me? Praise God. Why is he withholding that from me? There's times we need to ask that question. Why is it being withheld from me? And instead of romanticizing it, instead of taking the time to look at it for a while and say, you know what, I guess I just never noticed. We came down through downtown Augusta tonight, and I said, you know, I never noticed all the flowers that are growing down here. It looks really nice. I like it. I guess I never realized that before. And all of a sudden, she saw this beautiful tree, all this nice shiny fruit on the tree. Well, why doesn't God want me to have that? Well, I want you to know the wisdom of God is so much higher than our wisdom tonight. Amen. Eve was like an innocent child. Well, why can't I have that? And, well, because. Well, why because? And before you know it, it goes into this, well, why? Well, I want it. Well, I want it, and I can't have it. I don't know why I can't have it. Well, sometimes we just have to trust in the leadership of our parents. Well, praise God. And sometimes we just need to lean on the leadership of the Good Shepherd in our lives. Amen. So that we are not going to want the things that he tells us is not going to be good for us. Praise the Lord. And she looked at it, and in her mind, she just imagined in her mind what it would be like to be like God. It was a pipe dream. It was a fantasy. It was her falling in love with the fantasy. Amen. Not really experiencing it. Never experience it. Amen. She never became like God. And in fact, instead of going up the ladder in spirituality, she took great steps down from spirituality. And when her husband ate of the fruit, they both stepped down, and all of a sudden they realized the difference in good and evil. And when God came along, they ran and hid from his presence. Amen. The dream was not a real dream. Amen. The thoughts were not real thoughts. Amen. They were just romanticized thoughts of what it would be like. And I can only imagine, I just can't understand why God would keep this from me. Amen. They got the spirit of I want. Lust took over. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh. And then there was pride as well, which said, I deserve this. And I've got myself built up to having this, and it is the very spirit of adultery. It is the very spirit of theft. It is the very spirit of covenant breaking. It is the very spirit of many other destructive sins. And in fact, you could read about all of them in Galatians 5:19. The works of the flesh. This is the carnal mind. are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, that's anger, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I have told you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. You'll never have peace and righteousness and joy in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. This spirit of I want will take your mind to a place of fantasy and tell you it's going to be exciting and great. Amen. I want this. And then after a while, you'll figure out how to come up with the idea that I deserve this and that God is holding something good back from me. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, it is a spirit that is in our world today. It's a human spirit. It's a carnal spirit. It's the carnal mind. Amen. It's a very deceptive spirit. And folks, I want you to know tonight, we need to go out of our way to avoid it. Amen. We need as much as possible to protect our children from it. Praise God. And not to open up the door to the mindset of the world. Amen. All the other young people are doing it. Well, just because they're doing it doesn't mean that it's right. Just because they're all having that attitude does not mean that is the attitude of a child of God. Amen. We need to have the attitude, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Paul spoke of it, Philippians 4 and verse 11. Let's look at it tonight. Amen. I'm going to finish here in just a few minutes here. Maybe just a few more than just a few minutes. Philippians 4 and verse 11. Not that I speak in respect of want. And so he dealt with this issue of want. Amen. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned, everybody said, I have learned that whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I'm happy to live in Kansas. I'm thankful for this state. I'm glad I don't live in Texas. Amen. Praise God. They can say all they want to about Texas. Brother Riley texted me and he said, we're down, but we're not out. We're encouraged. He said, after all, we're Christians, we're apostolic, and we're Texans. Amen. There's an attitude down there. Amen. There really is. Everything's bigger in Texas. Well, they can keep those big floods down there if they want to. And he said, I know how to be abased. Praise God. I know how to be abased. That means to be down low. And I know how to abound. That means to be up on the mountaintop. Everywhere. Everybody said everywhere. And in all things. Everybody said all things. Everywhere. All things. I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry. Amen. To be full and to be hungry, to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. There's the wonderful attitude. Paul referenced this respect of want. He knew that he couldn't do the will of God under the spirit of I want. Amen. He had to learn, as we have to learn, not to want. Amen. Praise God. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And that is in the context of desire of things that are not of God and desire of things that God would say no to us about, whatever it is. Amen. Paul said, I learned how to be full and to have plenty, and then I've learned how to do without. Amen. In whatever state he was in, he learned how to be happy. And I just wonder tonight, can we say this? Can we say this? Can each of us tonight say this? It's a very important question that all of us must answer. Am I truly happy? And if I'm not, why? Amen. Because the question and the answer will be very revealing and life-changing. Amen. If it's truly asked with a humble spirit. Amen. Can we be happy? Can we truly be happy just knowing that the Lord is our shepherd? We've got to answer that question. And someday you're going to be faced with that question when you are suffering need. And it seems like you are not on the top of the game, but things are going against you right now at this point. Amen. I'm thankful tonight. I'm one of the sheep of His pasture. Praise God. We will follow. Amen. We will serve a shepherd. We will serve a master. Amen. And what we follow will be the result of what we will see in that shepherd. Amen. If we want things, amen, then we're going to find a shepherd that'll give us what we want. Praise God. You're going to find a shepherd. You're going to find a master. Amen. Jesus said, no man can serve two masters. Amen. You cannot serve God and mammon. You're going to love one and hate the other, and opposite as well. Amen. And so what we've got to understand tonight is there are multiple shepherds that we can follow. But tonight, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Amen. I don't want anything other than Him. I'm thankful for the cuckoo clocks of life. Amen. I'm thankful for the little blessings that come along. Praise God. I'm thankful for some of the niceties that I have, but I'm telling you what, they are nothing in comparison to this great Almighty God that I serve tonight. Amen. He's high and lifted up. He holds everything in His hand. Amen. He has in His hand the cattle of 1,000 hills. And somebody way back said He got all the taters in them hills too. Praise God. God's got it all. Amen. I remember hearing about war in one of the African nations, and the man was actually the one doing the testifying. I heard him tell the story of what had happened, and they were in the middle, and these two factions were fighting, and their house had holes blown in the walls. And they knew that if they got up and left their house, they would be killed immediately because neither side knew which side they were on. And they said, thankfully, we had a waterbed, so they had water to drink. Yuck. Amen. But they drank the water out of the waterbed, and then they got hungry. And they thought, well, Lord, we're hungry. We need some food to eat. Lord, would You give us some food to eat? And they got to the table, and they began to pray and ask the Lord to give them some food. And they said, all of a sudden, in the open window, a big bird flew through the open window and landed on the table and just stood there. And they killed it and they ate it. Praise God. God gave them some food to eat. Do you believe that? I do. Amen. He provided quail, 1.5 feet, amen, or 1.5 cubits, almost 3 feet deep for a 50-mile diameter. You talk about supplying your need. God's able to supply your need. Well, they got hungry again. They still had water in the waterbed, and they got hungry again. They said, you know what? If God can give us a bird, He can give us some fish. And all of a sudden, right through the army, there was a guy with the big basket on his head, walked right through and got through and walked straight to their house and said, I'm supposed to deliver this here. And in the basket was fish. Praise God. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I believe that tonight. I do. I believe it. God is able to do anything. Amen. And I'm thankful that we don't have to get into those situations. Amen. But there are times that we are seemingly without. Amen. When the Lord is our shepherd, We can have the settled feeling that everything's going to be all right. Do you feel that way? You know what? I don't fear the end times. Well, praise God. You know what? I don't fear death. Why should we? Amen. It's just a temporary thing. Praise God. It's just a temporary thing because the Lord is going to take us for eternity. Amen. I don't know about you tonight, but I'm not looking at the future with doom and gloom because I have a shepherd tonight. And it's not the shepherd that gives me everything I want exactly when I want it. Amen. Many, many today have turned Jesus Christ into a modern day 365 days out of the year Santa Claus. And what he's here for is to bless me. Amen. What he is in this world for is to give me. I want. And so I go to God in prayer and I ask God to give me what I want. I wonder how often. Well, praise God. I wonder how often we go to prayer and say, God, give me what you want to give me. Praise God. But oftentimes it's the other way around. God, this is what I want. And if it doesn't happen, we get discouraged. And if it doesn't happen after a while, we lose our hope. Amen. We lose our faith. And we begin to go in other directions, amen, and we begin to fight and war, amen, because now we're trying to get it on our own. I don't know about you, but I'd rather God give me what I have than have to constantly fight for what I get. Praise God. Amen. I love peace. Anybody else love peace? I love peace. I don't want to go to Syria. I don't want to go to Iraq. I don't want to go to Afghanistan. God help us. My wife's two nephews are in the military, and God help us. They're going to send over several thousand troops over to Afghanistan, and we're just praying that will not happen to those young men. I'm telling you today, I'm glad I live in America. I'm glad I live in America tonight. Praise God. Romans chapter 8 and verse 29. Amen. The Lord is my shepherd tonight. And here's what the shepherd does. It says, Romans 8, 29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now that predestination was not a predestination of salvation. Some people teach that predestination is a biblical doctrine, that certain people were predestined to be saved and certain people were predestined to be lost. And you don't have a choice. If God says you're going to be saved, you're going to be saved. And if he says you're going to be lost, you're going to be lost. That's not true. It is not a Bible doctrine. Predestination or predestinating somebody's future is not what that's talking about. It's talking about the plan of God for your life was predestined before you were even born. God had a plan for your life before you were born. Amen. He planned you getting the Holy Ghost and being baptized in Jesus' name. Amen. It was predestined. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. He called them to that predestination or that predestined plan. But many are called, but the Bible says few are chosen. Because many turn their back on the call. And them that he called, he justified. Whom he justified, he glorified. He filled us with the Holy Ghost. And what then shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? If God be for us, who can be against us? I'm here to tell you tonight, church, that nothing can be against us if God is for us. The Lord is my shepherd. He's leading my life. He has predestined the road ahead for us. Amen. There is a plan. There is a purpose. There is a predestined reason for you to be here. Amen. For you to have what you have in God. Amen. For your parents to come to the church. Amen. For you to receive the Holy Ghost, to get the Word of God in your heart. There is a predestined plan for your life. We have a shepherd tonight who's not just happen chance leading you. Well, what are we going to do today? Well, I haven't figured it out yet. Just hang on. We'll get it figured out. I've got a feeling tonight that your tomorrow has been predestined already way ahead of time. The steps of a good man are ordered of God. That's powerful tonight. Amen. I have a shepherd, and he knows where he's going. I just need to follow him. Praise God. He knows exactly what he's doing. He's not confused. He never gets confused. Things are not out of order with him. They're always in perfect order with God. Amen. What we need to do is submit to him and fall in love with that leadership in our life. Amen. Because when you understand that kind of leadership, praise God, good leadership just gives way to peace. You trust your leadership. Praise God. I hope you trust your leadership. Amen. That nothing crazy and weird. We're not going to go off in some crazy, weird direction. Amen. We're not going to go off into some crazy, weird doctrine. Amen. We're not going to begin to do crazy and weird things. No, I'm telling you what. I've got a God tonight who's stable. Amen. I've got a God tonight who's got it all figured out, and it gives me comfort and it gives me peace to know that I'm in his hand and that God is for us. Amen. If God be for us, and he is for us, and we need to say that on a regular basis, God is for me. Praise God. Amen, Pastor. Psalm 63 and 3, amen. Because of thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Praise God. God's loving kindness, that's his leadership in our lives. That's the kind of leadership that he has. He's not going to lead us into something that will hurt us. Psalm 69 and 16, hear me, O Lord, for thy loving kindness is good. Turn unto me according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Oh, don't we need mercy? Praise God. And when we stumble and we fall, God's there to help us. Psalm 51 and verse 1, to the chief musician, a psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet came unto him after he had gone into Bathsheba. Here it is. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Amen. Every time you turn back to the shepherd with a repentant heart and with a right spirit, I'm telling you tonight, he's right there because he cares about his sheep. He cares about his flock. Amen. And he is there to lead and to guide us by the still waters and to bless us. Praise God. The loving kindness of God is so profound. Amen. That the very son that was born of Bathsheba became the very next king of Israel. And God smiled upon him and made him the wisest man that ever lived. I don't comprehend those things. Amen. He committed murder and adultery. And the son that was born of that woman became the next king of Israel. Folks, you got to just meditate on that a little bit, and it'll give you a picture, a glimpse of the loving kindness of our shepherd. Praise God. I'm glad I know him tonight. John, I'm not going to read it tonight. John 10, verses 1 through 18. You can read it when you get home, but he talks about himself and us. Amen. He talks about himself as the shepherd and you and I as the sheep of his pasture. Praise God. I'm telling you tonight, we have a shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Are you dissatisfied tonight because you just want so many things? Amen. I'll tell you what. Just get a hold of God first. Get a hold of His glory. Look into His face and understand how much He really, at least try to understand how much He really loves you. And it'll take that spirit of I want out of your heart. Can we stand together tonight? Praise God. One more scripture, Psalm 37, verse 4 and 5. Just get a hold of this tonight and let it become a part of your thinking. Let it become a part of your life. Psalm 37, verse 4 and 5. Delight thyself also in the Lord. Delight thyself also in the Lord. What does that mean? That means be excited about your relationship with God. Come on, are y'all with me here tonight? I know we're tired. I know it's Wednesday night. But he said, delight thyself in the Lord. Praise God. One of these days, Hunter's going to get his pickup truck. And it's probably going to have a few dents in it and maybe some paint that's not right. And it might have a loud muffler or something till you can raise the money to fix it. And he'll feel really good about his pickup truck. And then when Garrett gets his Lotus, he pulls up to the church and somebody walks up close to it, he'll say, hey man, don't touch that. Don't touch that. Yeah, I'll take you for a ride, but you've got to take your shoes off before you get in. I've seen guys like that. Yeah. Hey, man, did you wipe your feet before you got in my car? I thought, oh, brother, we got a real live one on our hands here. It's just a car, dude. Amen. But I'm delighting myself in this thing. It's mine. I've seen you ladies come to church, and I know what you're talking about. Oh, where'd you get that stick in your hair? Where'd you get that dress at? Oh, well, I really like that. Thank you. And that spot and that smile of contentment and happiness comes over your face because somebody likes the dress that you're wearing or the shoes that you have on. Amen. And we delight ourselves in things. Amen. We feel good when we have some things in our life. Praise God. Praise God. How about delighting ourselves in the Lord? Oh, I'm so excited. I've got God in my life. I wake up in the morning and just think how blessed I am to have Jesus in my life. To have somebody that's watching over me, and if a hair falls off of my head, he's got him a notepad and he makes a mark. Hair fell off of his head. Yep. 15 fell off of his head. 4 more grew in his nose. Praise the Lord. It's there, folks. A little bitty bird. And God's got a book and he makes a note of that. Sparrow fell. Augusta, Kansas. Wednesday. 10 a.m. He makes note of that. Did you know that he named every single star in the universe? It's in the scripture. He named every one of them. God's very intimately involved. And when he did what he did, he said, every day that he created, day 1 through day 6, he said, it is good. It wasn't, yeah, it's good. No. He looked at it. And he said, this is good. This is good. And then when it was all said and done and he created man, he said, it's very good. It's very good. So when God looks down at us, he doesn't look down at us with a big old stick in his hand waiting to knock our head off if we mess up. Some people believe that that's the way God is. And he's this mean God. And he's cold and he's calloused and he doesn't care. But I'm telling you tonight, he doesn't have that. Oh, there's times that he chastens us, the scripture says, but let's leave that aside for now. That's done in love too. But he looks at us and he says, wow, look at that. They're worshiping me. And they've got this problem and that problem and that problem in their life, but they choose to worship me anyhow. I'm telling you, that's how God feels about us. He's just looking for somebody that'll feel about him the same way. Do you love him tonight? Or are you just in that attitude tonight? I want, and I'm not. I've been praying, and I haven't got what I want. I haven't got an answer to my prayer. Amen. I don't want to pray amiss, but I want to pray in the will of God and just wait on God. Amen, because he really does care. Let's pray. Come on, let's lift our voices together tonight. Help us, Lord.